The following is a conversation between His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and a Sanskrit professor, recorded February 13, 1975, in Mexico City, Mexico.
Once Leibniz, who is one of the fathers of the Western tradition, formulated the question which was the beginning of metaphysics in a way, Western metaphysics. The question is, why there is anything? What is your stand about this basic point?
Why
there is anything?
Anything?
Why anything exists? What is the reason for the existence of
something? Why anything exists? What do you mean by anything?
Well, that's precisely the point.
Huh?
What is the purpose? What is the sense? If there is any, or does the very question make sense?
Unless I understand, what is that anything? First of all, you have to understand what is that anything. Anything just like this book, this table, this bell, the electric, these are so many things. So you can take any one of them, that is anything. What is your idea of anything?
Oh, reality. Reality, material, external reality to our ego, or internal reality as well.
Internal reality and external reality?
Both, for me. The word anything covers both.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that also you understand anything. There are so many varieties of things. You can take any one of them, there is anything. But your question should be, where from these things coming? That should be the proper question.
What is the reason of this? Anything?
There are so many things, and you can take any one of them, there is anything. But the real question should be, where from all these things are coming? That is the real question. What is the origin of all these things?
Well, origin, that is more on the theoretical side. It's a question. Why? But I am rather after the purpose.
Yes. That is a nice question. But there is the real source of everything. That is the Vedanta Sutra, perhaps you have read. Vedanta Sutra, first question is, where from all these things come? The answer is that janmadasya jataha brahma, the original thing is brahma, or the absolute truth, and from him everything is emanating. Just like physical, the sun is there, and the whole material world is product of the sunshine. What your physical science says? And do they not say it is a fact, the sunshine, due to the sunshine, all these material things are there?
Well, it's more involved than just saying that sun is just a big complex of hydrogen and helium, a big pile of rubbish, really, that it develops this marvelous reactions which cause it work as a big nuclear reactor. That's entirely different story, but the vision of science, of the present science, about the meaning of celestial bodies and the meaning of in particular of sun and moon and so on, is Well, we are extremely realistic about it. Well, we can't see, assuming all the glory of that what happens on the earth due to the existence of this body, we do not try to look inside of the structure of this thing as something meant for us. It's just universe as it is. And this question, Leibnizian question, which I'm repeating, that's not my original. This big question is, Western philosophy presently does not answer. One does not ask this question. I think that this scientist who did ask it had quite a point. So this question expresses this, well, quest of the human race for some meaning, for some sense, for some sense. That's what religions are offering us, or philosophies. Well, rarely, directly, we hear the direct answer to that.
What is your direct answer?
Oh, I don't have any. If I would have, I would ask you.
That means your knowledge is insufficient.
Precisely, precisely.
Mm-hmm. Therefore,
that is the beginning of the
Christian
wisdom. We know that we don't know, and I even know that.
That's all right. That is, we don't know means our knowledge is insufficient.
Yeah.
But knowledge means must be progressive. We should not remain in insufficient knowledge. We must make further progress to get sufficient knowledge. Inquiry.
You refer to some other, more direct ways of acquiring knowledge than just the standard.
No, because study. We have got insufficient knowledge, we cannot approach directly. It is not possible. We have to take knowledge, who has got sufficient knowledge, from it. Because you have got insufficient knowledge, so you cannot make progress. Just like beyond this wall, you cannot say what is there. That is insufficient knowledge. But that does not mean there is nothing. Because you cannot say what is beyond this wall. That does not mean that there is nothing beyond this world. Your knowledge is insufficient. Is it not?
Well, yes, but this was more or less my
the
original question. I said,
then,
is Indian philosophy proposed?
No, it is not Indian or American. It is the philosophy. It is philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
The philosophy is not Indian or American.
Mm-hmm.
Truth is truth. Not Indian truth or American truth.
Mm-hmm.
That is not truth. That is relative truth.
Mm-hmm.
The absolute truth is absolute. That is neither Indian nor American nor Eastern.
In what sense you use the concept truth here?
Yeah.
Is it in the ontological sense, or is it in somehow in more pragmatical human sense, refers to human beings? Or?
Yes, it is pragmatic.
Mm-hmm.
That you cannot see beyond this world.
Mm-hmm.
That is your insufficient knowledge. Or your senses are insufficient, you cannot go beyond this world. But that does not mean there is nothing beyond this world. So if you want to know what is beyond this world, you have to know from a person who knows it. Yes. Because you cannot see, you cannot know, that is not the end. There must be something.
Why?
Why? It is actual fact. That is pragmatic. It is actual fact. There is so many things there are. But you do not know. Because your senses are imperfect. Your eyes are imperfect. Your touch imperfect. The gathering senses. The senses which gathers knowledge. Just like eyes. We can see and gather knowledge. We can hear, we gather knowledge. We can taste, we gather knowledge. So, because your senses are imperfect, therefore your knowledge gathered, that is imperfect. There is no question of mystic. First of all, we have to admit that on account of our senses being imperfect, whatever knowledge we gather, there is imperfect. That is imperfect. Therefore, if you want to possess real knowledge, you have to approach somebody who is perfect.
Yes.
You cannot.
Yes. How can we know that somebody is perfect?
That is another thing. Mm-hmm. But the first of all, the basic principle is we have to understand that our senses are imperfect. And whatever knowledge we gather by these imperfect senses, they are imperfect. So, if we want perfect knowledge, then we have to approach somebody whose senses are perfect, whose knowledge is perfect. That is the principle. That is the Vedic principle. Therefore, the Vedic principle says, tad-vijñānārtham sa gurum eva abhigacchet. You know Sanskrit.
Yes.
In order to know that perfect knowledge, one should approach Guru. So, who is Guru? Then the next question is, your question is, how I can? Then Guru.
How can I know that?
That I am coming. Guru, that is next line, it is said, Srutriyam Brahmanistham. Guru means who has properly heard the Vedas, Shruti, Shrutiyam. And as a result of his hearing, he is firmly convinced in the existence of the Absolute Truth, God.
So then we will come to one of the dimension theories of knowledge. I think Shabda.
Hmm? Shabda?
Shabda.
Shabda, yes. Shabda Brahma. Yes.
Then if you are able to communicate, to have knowledge.
Shabda Brahma, many thousands of miles away, we are getting some radio message. And we learn. Something is happening there, something is there. Therefore, Shabda. That is, Shabda means sound. Sound. Sound vibration. So, that is the real source of knowledge. That is the real source of knowledge. Shabda Brahma.
One of the sources of knowledge of the only one.
No, that is the only one. There are others, they are subordinate. But this Shabda, knowledge received, Shabda, through Shabda, Shabda Brahma, that is perfect knowledge. Just like the same example, beyond this wall I cannot see. But if somebody there says, this is the position here, the sound comes, that is perfect. You cannot see what is going on. But if somebody says, sends radio message or any message, sound, then you know. So therefore, Shabda Prama, Shabda knowledge received through Shabda, that is perfect knowledge.
That means that through Shabda and through other means, you can have a direct intuition, but you can't detect.
Intuition is
direct,
direct perception. Shabda, you can direct perception. It is not intuition, it is perception. Therefore the word is used, Sutriyam, Brahmanistha. So our process is to receive knowledge through Shabda Brahma. Vedic. Just like Eka Narayana Asit. Eka Narayana Asit. Before creation, there was only Narayana. Na Brahma, na Isha. There was no Brahma, there was no Shiva. So this is Sabda Pramana. Sabda Pramana. In the beginning, there was God. Nothing else. So, in this way, our Vedic principle is, when your knowledge is corroborated by the Vedic version, then it is perfect.
But according to Shankara, if I am interpreting well, then it is not the only way that you can approach truth. You can also approach through deduction.
There are many ways. Just like hypothesis.
Mm-hmm.
Hypothesis.
Methods.
Yes. History. History. Mm-hmm. Hypothesis. History. Then direct perception. There are many. But the, of all these, Sabda Praman is taken as best. Sabda Praman. Evidence. Through the sound, that is the best.
But I'm coming again to you, but according to, if I'm correct, I wanted to know what do you think. If one can prove the value, existential value of a thing through deduction, if it is possible, and not only through intuition, so direct intuition of it. Reality of the thing?
Value by intuition?
The knowledge of the existence of anything.
Yes, the knowledge of existence that nitya sasatayam, nitya sasatayam, that is knowledge of existence. So, you have to learn which is nitya and which is not nitya, from the authority. This is nitya, this is anitya. So, nitya nityanam, cetana cetananam, these are the Vedic verses. There is one chief nitya. Amongst the many nityas, that is, we living entities, we are nityas, eternal. First of all, try to understand eternity. You are a child, or I was a child. Now, that body, child body, is no longer existing. But I understand, I know that I had a body, child. That I am nitya. I am existing. The body has gone. But I am existing. That I am eternal, nitya.
Mm-hmm.
Is it clear?
Well, I remember one other explanation that when you are sleeping, and you have a dream.
No, when I am sleeping, I am working.
And you have a dream, and then when you are coming back from sleep,
yes.
You can remember this.
Yes.
That means that you are conscious of your existence even on the suppression of
I'm not only conscious, really conscious but the consciousness depends on me.
Yes.
Because I am there, therefore mm-hmm. consciousness. So, I am nitya. This is the proof of nitya. And many changes have taken place, but those changes, the phenomenal changes, they have gone out. They are no more existing.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, they are not nitya. Just like dream.
Mm-hmm.
At night I saw one dream. But the dream is no more existing. But I remember that last night I saw the dream. Therefore, I am nitya. And the dream is anitya. The dream is anitya. Similarly, this phenomenal world, I am not I'm not sleeping, but I'm so-called awake. So I'm seeing you, I'm seeing you, I'm seeing this table, this book. But when I'm asleep, I forget all this. I forget. I'm in a different world. I'm seeing different things. So this is also dream, and the dream at night, that is also dream. But I, the seer of this dream and that dream, I am the eternal.
The thing is not to make the bending of the consciousness of an individual, the existence of things?
I say that at night when I am dreaming,
yeah.
I do not see existence of these things. And at this time, in daytime, when I am seeing these things, I do not see the existence of the dream. So, the conclusion should be, both these things I see in daytime and I see at night, they have no existence. They are phenomena. But I am the seer, I am eternal. I am existing. This is the
proof.
Because at night I am seeing and daytime I am seeing. So therefore I am eternal. But the phenomenal manifestation, they are temporary. We don't say it is false. Temporary. The Mahavadi Pure Shankar said it is false. Brahma Satya Jagan Mitha. Mitha means false. But you don't say false. You don't say that this book is false. It has got reality, but temporary. This book has come into form at a certain date, and it will exist for certain days. And when it will be worn out or old, there will be no existence. Therefore, the formation of this book is temporary. But I am the reader of the book, I am eternal. So, two things are there, temporary and eternal. The temporary existence, somebody says, false. But we say it is not false, it is temporary. But there is an eternal existence. It's like I am eternal. That is, we have to learn from sabda, vibration. Na hannate hannamane sarire. You understand Sanskrit? Na hannate hannamane sarire. That eternal thing is existing. It will continue to exist. Even after the destruction of this temporary body, it will continue to exist.
Coming again to the question that Dr. Plevant has put you, well, it is possible to understand all these things, and I call as either in the sense of the Vaiti.
You have to understand, I have already said, that we have got our imperfect senses. We cannot understand. But we have to understand from a person who has got perfect knowledge.
But why the existence of all these things?
Huh?
Why the existence of all these imperfect?
So? Why?
Knowledge.
And then the question answer will be, why there shall not be existence? First of all, you answer this. If you ask a question like that, why there is existence?
I don't know.
Then I shall inquire, why there shall not be existence? Therefore, the decision should be taken from the Absolute. Your question, my answer, will not solve. If you say, why there is existence, I can ask you, why there shall not be existence? And we decide this.
If I may say something, this basic question, I suppose, may be asked only on the level of or religion or philosophy, which does not put a line of division between practice in life,
yes,
and abstract investigations. Now, in normal Western thinking, we do deny the very purpose of that question. As a matter of fact, we never ask it. Since time of the when Leibniz did ask this question, we all forgot it, or deliberately we suppress it. We simply say, all right, let's be concerned only with those things which we can deal with effectively in material world, and the question of purpose, let's leave aside. Now, I suppose that within this system of thought which you represent...
The purpose is, that is experienced by every one of us. What is the purpose of life? What is the purpose of anything? That everyone we can understand very easily. The purpose is ananda. Pleasure. That is the purpose. There is no difficulty to understand what is the purpose. The purpose is pleasure-seeking. Our purpose is pleasure. One who hasn't got the pleasure is seeking after it. That is the purpose. Purpose is ananda. Anandamaya abhyasat, that is the Vedanta Sutra. Every one of us seeking ananda. The scientific knowledge, philosophy, or even driving the car, or whatever you are doing, the purpose is ananda. That is a common factor. Purpose is, why I am eating palatable dishes? I can eat anything. But I am seeking that this sort of foodstuff will please me. That is ananda.
That is driving force and motivation of most of human activities. But the question purpose, which Leibniz was asking for, was he was asking on higher plane, in abstraction.
The higher plane means you are seeking after pleasure, but that is being abstract. That is your position. You are seeking pleasure, but it is not unabstract. Therefore, you are seeking higher, where there is no abstraction. Pleasure is the purpose. But when you speak of higher plane, that means you are experiencing abstraction in getting pleasure. So you are seeking a platform where there is no abstraction. But the purpose is the same.
Must it necessarily be so? That would be so, supposing that we, human beings, are precisely the center of existence and all criteria
should be
applied, measuring everything what exists.
Mm.
Now the question, why there is anything, is asked on the more higher, I said higher level, in the sense trying to forget about this anthropocentric thinking.
This
relates to everything what may exist. Mm. Other beings, other intelligences, and this big
This is a fact. The intelligent and not intelligent, that doesn't matter. Everyone is seeking pleasure. Ananda. The Sanskrit word is ananda. So, ananda, suppose I am constructing a big house to live there. But before the construction is finished, my nature, I am taken out, I die. Just like Napoleon, that in France, Arc in Paris, he could not finish. You see, there are so many things. We are thinking by finishing this, we shall be happy, but that is sometimes hampered. So ananda is checked. So this is the position. So higher means where ananda is not checked. That is higher. The purpose is ananda. But in this material world, we are experiencing ananda being checked. That's why nobody wants to die. That's a fact. Why he should die? That, as I already discussed, that I know that I was a child, I was a boy, I was a young man, and now I have got this body, old man body. It is now going to finish. So I am a little anxious. Now whatever ananda I was drawing in my living condition, now it is going to be finished. But if we think properly that I am eternal, so although the body will be finished, I will not be finished. This is very natural. But I was not finished because my childhood body was finished. So I was not finished. My boyhood body was not finished. I was not finished. My youthhood was finished, but I was not finished. Similarly, the conclusion should be, even though this body will be finished, I will not be finished. That is stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Tatha dehantara prati dhiras tatta namiyati. Dhira, one is intelligent. He is not disturbed. Dhiras tatta namiyati. So, dhira, one is dhira, sober, philosopher, he knows that I am not going to finish. I shall have to accept another body. Now, whether that body will be ananda, that is the consideration. I will get another body, just as this body, after changing so many bodies, moment after moment we are changing body. That is the medical science. Changing of blood corpuscles. So, this body will be changed again. Then I will have to enter the mother's womb and packed up for at least 10 months in a suffocated condition. This is scientific or then again I will come out when the body is prepared nicely to come out and exist. So that period of formation of body is not ananda. To remain compact in this way for 10 months, it is not ananda. It is not ananda, just opposite ananda. Then, when we die, death means the miserable condition is so great that we cannot live. We have to go. So there is no ananda. Then when we have got this body changing, there is no ananda. Because we are sometimes diseased, and to become old man, that is also not ananda. Therefore, I am eternal, I am seeking after something which is eternal ananda. Therefore, next consideration should be that whether this condition of repetition of birth, death, old age and disease can be changed. That is the next question. And if there is possibility, then we shall try for it. But there is possibility. The conclusion is, so long we get this material body, because matter is not eternal. Anything you take, material, earth, water, fire, air, sky, mind, intelligence, and false ego, these are all material things. So, these material things, they are not eternal, none of them. This table is created. It is not eternal. It will finish at a certain day. Anything you take. But I am eternal. So if I transfer myself in another nature which is eternal, then my ananda will be eternal. That is the purpose of life.
Identity between Atman and the sense of the Atman.
Yes, I am Atma, you are Atma.
And the Atman. Of the world,
let's
say, the absolute.
Yes, Atman and Paramatma. Paramatma. As I was speaking, Nitya, Nityana. We are all Nityas, eternal. But there is one chief nitya, just like leader. Anywhere we go, we have got a leader. Now this is your Mexico state, there is a president. You cannot avoid it. In your college, there is principal. There must be a leader. Similarly, the whole thing taken together, there must be one leader. You have to speak from experience that in your physical department or in your religious department, there is a chief leader, professor, or you may be, but that is the way. Therefore, basic information is that we are eternal. But there is another eternal, who is chief eternal. That is God. He is eternal, we are also eternal. Then what is the difference? The difference is that eko jo bahunam vidadati kama, that one eternal, chief eternal, he is maintaining all the subordinate eternals. So both the eternals are eternal, and the purpose is pleasure. That's like a small example. A family man, the father is the chief man in the family. The mother is there, the children are there, all together. But the father is the chief man in the family. He is maintaining the family. And there is ananda, pleasure. Similarly, ananda is the aim of all the eternals, the chief eternal or the subordinate eternal. But the supplier is the chief eternal. So, when we come together. The chief eternal and the subordinate eternals and enjoy together, that is the purpose of life.
According to other systems of philosophy, Indian philosophy and Christian, like for instance the Ramakrishna and the economy.
They are not philosophers.
They are all ancient traditions.
They have no philosophy.
Eh?
They have no philosophy.
I said, you are also proposing the possibility to acquire knowledge through contact.
Our position is, I have already explained, that we are all imperfect.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, we have to take knowledge from the perfect.
Yes.
So, God is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Or Krishna is perfect. So we have to receive knowledge from Him. Then our knowledge is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So long we shall speculate, that is not perfect. Because you are speculating with the imperfect instruments, what is the use?
Can you think that the only way to acquire...
Yeah, if I want to cut this table, I must have proper instrument. If I want to cut this table with this bow, let me cut this. How it will be possible?
Mm-hmm.
You must know that for cutting this table, it requires this instrument.
Yes, then they think that the only way to acquire knowledge is through shabda.
Yeah. Sabda Prama.
Mm-hmm. I think you know the Pramanas. I think it would be also possible according to the others.
Just like I'm trying something and some experienced man says, do like this. This is Sabda Prama. Sabda Prama. One who is known. He says, do like this. The do like this means sabda, sound. And it enters your ear and you do adjustment. That was sabda pramana. Just like you are sleeping and another man is coming to kill you and another friend says, get up, get up, get up. There is enemy, he is coming to kill you. Then you wake up. That was the sound is the Prama. These are crude examples. When you are asleep, you cannot understand. You have got eyes, you have got hands, you have legs, but no experience. But the ear gives you warning, even if you are sleeping. There is enemy, your eyes cannot see, your hand cannot touch, but the ear can give you evidence, yes, as soon as your eye can say, yes, here is an enemy, he's coming to kill me. Therefore, the oral reception, sound reception is the evidence. Knowledge received through authentic sound vibration, that is perfect.
Perhaps I would like to ask a question this way. Within that what you said, the assumption that individual ego is eternal and also subordinate to that which is eternal, hierarchically higher, nevertheless is the part of that which is the eternal reality. And that is, I understand, basic thought in that which you later develop. Question, is this statement what you made, a statement of fact based on direct perception, or is it something what rather follows traditional belief
And he does the axiomatic basis of your philosophy as similarly as other philosophies have axiomatic basis.
No, this is axiomatic basis because you have to accept that your senses are imperfect. So you, by speculation, cannot have perfect knowledge. This is axiomatic truth.
Well, that's, with that epistemological truth, all right, we may go along and, as a matter of fact, doubt about the truth of direct sensual perception. Well, it's the basis, one of mottos of the scientific activity.
But my question
is rather this statement, this basic statement about eternal ego and so on, is a statement which you somehow give to us as a revealed message, something what is as deeper
yes,
truth.
Yes, revealed.
Or is, yes.
Revealed.
Yeah.
It is revealed. Just like the Bhagavad Gita, the vibration is coming from Krishna. Now, you practically realize it, yes, what is said is correct. That is direct perception. First of all, you receive the message and then apply your logic and see that it is fact. Therefore it is perfect. When you receive the knowledge and when you directly apply to your perception, when you see it is correct, and that is the proof that the message which you receive that is correct.
Difficult to have proofs of that sense. Huh? On the eternity of your own Atman, for instance, or things of that kind.
That is called realization.
Yes. Only that.
Yes. First of all, you receive the sound, then apply your instruments, and when you find it, it is correct. So our process is to receive knowledge from the perfect. That's all. We are not perfect. But the knowledge we are getting, that is perfect. So according to that perfect direction, if we mold our life, then we are successful. Otherwise, go on experimenting, speculating. Chirang vichinnam. Chirang, you understand? Perpetually. Vichinnam, thinking. Chirang vichinnam. Athapite deva padam bhujadvayam prasad lesanu grihita evahi. Janati tattam nachanna ekopi chirang vichinnan. What is the use of speculating with imperfect senses? Useless waste of time. That is the tendency of modern world.
No, I said even of ancient
they,
Indian.
They do not accept that their senses are imperfect.
Well, they, for instance,
they want to see something distant place with microscope. What is called?
Telescope.
But the telescope is manufactured by you. It is imperfect.
I would say that even in India, in the ancient tradition, there were several proposals of how to arrange our periscope to be able to see more correctly.
You have to see that the Vedic injunction says Shastra chakushyat.
Shastra
chakushyat. Your eyes should be the Shastra. There is another crude example. Just like, who is your father? How to understand? Through the vibration of the mother. The mother says, he is your father. You accept it. Otherwise, there is no experiment. So things which are beyond your perception, beyond your defective senses, that should not be speculated. Natastarkena jujayet, achinta khaluje bhava, natastarkena jujayet. These are the injunctions. What is beyond your perception, beyond your speculation, don't waste your time, so-called argument and logic. What is argument? Mother says he is your father. What is the argument? You cannot apply any argument.
Nevertheless,
all tradition has been going into argument. Not argument, you can go on. But if you want to know the truth, it will not be attained by argument. Because argument is also within your thinking power. Thinking, feeling, willing.
Yes.
So, that it is your thinking, feeling, willing is imperfect. What is the use of your argument? What is the use of your so-called advancement of knowledge?
No,
basically, if the senses, acquiring sense, knowledge acquiring senses are imperfect, then how you can get perfect knowledge?
But then how, what we do with all techniques, all systems that have been developed, I say only in India, I am not thinking all of it, and on your own tradition, I said since Shankara onwards, of different ways to see, to study, to go deep into all these relations between...
Shankara has interpreted. Shankara has interpreted by his limited knowledge.
Yes.
So that is not perfect knowledge. Therefore, we don't accept Shankara's philosophy.
Yes, but I said he belongs to the same tradition and you belong to the other.
That tradition is nothing. Tradition is just temporary. You make your tradition, he makes your tradition. That is another thing. But fact is fact. That is not dependent on tradition.
Yes, but...
Tradition, we can make tradition.
Yes.
We believe. Just like somebody says, we believe. What is the use of such saying, we believe? You may believe something which is not fair.
Yes, but we could say that since the Upanishads and later on all Indian tradition has been sustaining the thing you have just said in an integral. That means there exists an identity between Atman and Brahman.
Identity is there. That's what I have already said. Nitya Nityana, Chetana Chetanana. Both of them are identical so far nitya is concerned or chetana is concerned. But one is dependent and one and other is maintained. That is because.
Yes, but I said also, in all this long, it has been said that truth and Brahman is.
Both of them are truth.
And you are sinning also.
True, both of them truth. You are truth, I am truth. You are living, I am living, existing. This is truth. This is truth. But you are professor and I am something else. That is temporary. But so far you are as living being and I am as living being. That is truth. But your dress and my dress, that is temporary.
Yes, but it's very hard to...
So you have to understand like that. In this material world, we are mixed up with temporary and eternal. The living entity is eternal, but his body is temporary. This is the position. So, the problem is why the eternal has got temporary things. that is hampering his ananda. Just like I'm sitting here, now somebody says, now you'll have to die and accept another body. This is not very pleasing to me. Or even I'm sitting in this apartment and somebody says, no, you change the apartment, come here. Again I change another apartment. So I seek after why I'm changing this apartment. Is it not possible to get an eternal apartment? That should be the Brahma Jigyasa. That is Vedanta Sutra, first said. Atharva Brahma Jigyasa. Why I'm subjected to this change? That is intelligence. Why not eternal apartment? If I am eternal, that is intelligence.
You say that for the
Atman,
Alvara, he is the general and for the Atman, it is a need for
the
things, for the purpose of Ananda.
Ananda, yes.
That means he is required.
Nature, Ananda.
This other thing, they have it because of lila, pleasure, playing.
That is also Ananda.
Yes, but this means that he needs it.
Just like somebody goes within the water. Nowadays it has become a fashion. What is that? Go to the within the water.
Diving.
But he does not belong to the water, but he takes some pleasure.
He needs pleasure.
Therefore he's seeking pleasure. That is the real aim. Therefore he's going into the water. He has no business to go to the water. But because he's seeking pleasure, let me see if there is some pleasure. Experiment. That's all. But he does not get, just like they are going to the moon planet. Moon planet. Let us see, because there is no ananda, he is seeking another type of ananda. And now they have failed, now they are going to Venus or what?
Mars.
Mars. Mars. This is going on. In this way his life is finished, seeking ananda. And he gets another body, another turn. So his intelligence is not coming to the point that what is this ananda? I'm eternal, I'm seeking eternal ananda. Why this ananda? Sometimes this body, sometimes this position, sometimes that position. What is this? That is intelligence.
Also, you are particular individual and
Atman.
You know?
Individual. We are part and parcel. The same thing. The supreme eternal and we mean subordinate eternal. We are of the same quality. Quality is the same. But quantity different. Therefore, our knowledge, quantity, and his knowledge, quantity, different. Therefore, we should take knowledge from him with large quantity of knowledge. We have a teeny quantity. This is the difference. He is also cognizant, I am also cognizant. But his knowledge is vast, unlimited. My knowledge is teeny. Therefore, if we want to know more, we should know from him. That is perfect knowledge.